Hello, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and you're listening to NewDissonantRadio.com. Believe me, it sounds better than it is.
Hi, I'm Mike Kaplan. You're listening to Ardent Atheist, and this is something funny that I'm saying about it.
Hello, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and as the lead singer of the Pendulette No God Band, coming again this year to TAM 2012. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in.
And please go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast, write a review, and help us get in the top 10.
It's the moral thing to do.
How's that the moral thing?
If they subscribe and comment, I will no longer rape.
Please. Do not subscribe.
Time for rape.
Yeah! We only have a couple of rules on our show. Rule number one.
Guests may plug anything they want, even if it's Emery's butt.
And rule number two. If you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you immoral rapist. Before I kick this show off, I need to explain that last week we had Mike Kaplan, BJ Kramer, and Ben Glebe. And after the show, Mike went flying out of here to do a show at Meltdown Comics. And we were hanging out here in the studio, chatting with Ben and BJ. And Ben said, so where do you atheists get your morals from?
Again.
I was like, what? We just explained that for an hour. You sat here talking with me and BJ and Mike and Heather. What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
And Ben said, you know, I still don't get it. I could talk about this for like another hour. And that's what we did. We sat right down. I turned on the record doohickey and pre-recorded episode 62 with Ben Glebe and BJ Kramer. And that is this conversation. What did you ask me, Ben?
Well, I said, I'm just curious where, because I wasn't trying to say that atheists don't have a moral system. I'm saying where. I'm curious where it comes from.
Right. So, BJ, you want to jump right in?
Yeah, I would start with saying a more important question is, is it there? Is there a moral code at all? And let's establish that. Let's define what it's like, what it may be different from somebody who has a belief system that gives them a moral code, if there is a difference. And, you know, once all that's sort of established, we can speculate if necessary or provide evidence for what its source is. But I think it's more important to first establish that an atheist like myself can absolutely have a well-developed moral code that's at least as, quote-unquote, moral.
Or more moral.
Perhaps.
I think oftentimes much more
absolutely.
Moral than biblical.
I'm sort of bending over backwards to be polite
nice.
Here. But I certainly think it's more moral to have a code of ethics and behavior that attempts to, you know, look at suffering and look at whatever and look at reality and make decisions based on it, if indeed that's what it is, rather than have something dictated on high. As an Orthodox Jew growing up, we were taught that right and wrong, you know, good and bad, are defined by the words of the Torah, and more specifically, what God wants you to do is the definition of good. And, you know, when God says something should not be done, it is the definition of bad.
Right.
Therefore, eating shrimp is just as bad as killing someone. Or
and wearing two different fabrics.
Absolutely.
Types.
Or, God forbid, be gay. So, yeah. So, and therefore, you know, things that didn't seem to make sense internally growing up, that, hey, that just doesn't seem like it's a bad thing. Or, you know, all of the killing of animals for sacrifices in the temple, which didn't do anybody any good. It was just like, or how about this? Are you familiar with
Well, it does make it more dramatic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the tribe of the Amalekites, the Amalekites? This is a group that in the Bible attacked the Jews as they were coming out of Egypt, and therefore God had cursed them such that forever, says, but rather specifically in the Bible, Jews are instructed to kill all men, women, and children of this tribe whenever they are found forever.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and according to Orthodox Jewish law, today, this law is on the books.
Right.
And if we were to find someone from this tribe, a baby, what doesn't matter, murder it immediately, you must. You don't need a Jewish court to pronounce an edict. You're supposed to bash that kid's head against the wall now. And done.
And if you're not good at murder, they're the best ones to go for because they're very weak.
And this is like the kind of thing that in school when I learned this, I was like, I don't think I could. You know, I don't know how, like, I was like, don't worry about it. It happens
you
to
actually
be.
Were, you,
this was a burden on you when you discovered it, when you read it.
It bothered me tremendously. Yeah. But I was taught that my hesitancy is a bad thing. This is inherently a good instruction. That's the moral code of the universe because God wants it. We don't have to understand it.
Right. But BG, I'm not arguing that.
Oh, I don't think you do.
Right. That's why I said that I'm not necessarily arguing atheism. I'm technically, as it's defined, an atheist myself, I suppose. My only question, so I'm not putting value of importance on the questions. All I'm saying is that the question at hand is where the moral system comes from. So it's not really debating atheism. I'm just asking, where does that good and bad come from?
It comes from where you are brought up. I mean, if you're brought up in a tribe of Indians, your morality, your system will be different than growing up right now, today, in 2012.
Where did theirs originate from?
They made rules.
Morality started out as ethics. Ethics was the beginning of morality. And we can find, for example, fortunately, the Asian cultures go back thousands and thousands, nutty thousands of years, and the records in the Asian cultures go much further back than most other cultures. So we're able to actually go back and find non-biblical ethics all over the fucking place.
Right.
And so morality has just been... is really just I don't even like the fucking word morality because it has a biblical connotation, and that's why I use it the way I'm about to use it. Morality is just ethics hijacked by religions,
and it's relative too. It's just relative to wherever you are, wherever you're brought up, wherever you live, wherever you're born. It's relative.
The Buddhist monks in Tibet, you know, there was a point in time when they discovered, when they were digging holes to put in these posts to build this building, way, way back in the 50s, I think, they discovered they were cutting worms in half. They didn't have enough understanding of worm biology to know that they were really creating two fucking worms. So they panicked. And now what they had to do is they had to gently dig the holes by hand and gently remove and replace the worms. And they had a whole program where they were busting the worms to another safer location and doing no harm. And that's just fucking retarded.
And this is the Mayans?
No, this was the Buddhist monks we're talking about.
The Mayans know when the world is ending.
Right.
These are the Tibetan monks. There's a movie, actually, that covers this particular part of the experience.
But you're taking it to organize religion, then, and you're saying that morality is ethics hijacked by religion, but still, what about the specific question that I'm asking?
Well, I was trying to illustrate how she said it just as it's specific to your location.
Sure.
Morality is
and your time.
Where does it originate from? What is the cause of us having a sense of right and wrong other than just sheer preservation, which could justify wrong?
BJ.
The answer is no, you just said it. I mean, you absolutely could justify wrong, and there have been moral systems that do and that have. We have seen moral systems that encourage child sacrifice in our species history. It's, you know, nowadays we look at that with horror because morality has changed. It changes over time, changes over place. People may not be comfortable with that. People may not like the idea that morality is kind of temporal and it might be different.
It's very malleable.
But that's not the current moral system that we prescribe to, that anybody really prescribes to who's a civilized human being. So current morality, the morality that an atheist mm-hmm. subscribes to, where does it come from?
Evolutionary process of ideas. That's where it comes from.
So, like,
based sheerly on self-preservation?
Not sheerly. No. Societal structures played a role as well. Right. And there came a point when human beings started collecting. They started coagulating into groups, and they started trying to build societies that felt good, that were comfortable, that were nice, that were enjoyable.
For self-preservation
purposes. That raised the quality
of
life.
Not just for self-preservation purposes.
For enjoyment, too.
Primarily for enjoyment of life. We became a different animal on this planet when that became part of our motivation. You disagree, BJ?
That's not that. It's that inevitably conversations like this can get into this sort of philosophical black hole where everything is selfish. Why would you do something good?
Well, I believe that's true.
And that's fine, and there are philosophers.
I believe in that part of Ayn Rand's objectivism.
Ayn Rand. I wish I paid more attention in philosophy classes.
Read Ayn Rand a lot.
But go back hundreds of years, and this is discussed, and it's in every philosophy 101 textbook. There were historical figures, and I'm sure somebody who would be listening on the wall right now, be throwing the names out at me,
right,
who have said you can distill everything down, no matter how altruistic it seems,
right,
to being inherently selfish.
I agree with that.
And okay, fine. And if you do that, fine. It's sort of mechanistic, and you'd be right, but it doesn't change any of the... So what's their conclusion? Therefore what? It doesn't change anything.
Well, but you'd be right, so you can't then negate the philosophy. If you'd what's be right, that's though, the one man? You have to then support and then also believe in. Otherwise, you're doing exactly what
when
you
he
said
says you'd
earlier
be right.
In the first podcast is by standing by and subscribing to a system that you realize isn't the same truth that you're saying,
the
and
moral
you're not stepping up.
The moral landscape talks a lot about what you're talking about. Sam Harris, and I recommend it highly. I think you'd fucking love it. He's
I own the book,
writer.
And I have not read it.
It's worth
dive
it.
Into that book, man. It is awesome. And what he one of the theses one of the points of his book
theses.
Theses, please.
Theses.
Theses.
One of the points of the book is that we don't, in no way, shape, or form, do we need religion. And in fact, the scientific process is a more ideal way to determine what's right and wrong, to find morality. And the reason
what is
that
the,
that
the,
makes
the scientific system.
Well, go ahead.
I just want to jump in there and completely take your sentences away for no
go
reason
ahead.
At all.
Go ahead.
The book is speculative. He's basically talking about how we don't have a science of morality yet, but
right.
we're getting better at it, and presumably we should be able to, at some point in the future, make decisions purely based on rational analysis.
That'd be great.
It would
and
be,
that's
be
the
awesome.
Scientific process.
And that
that's the what objectivism argues. So
among other things.
So if it comes – yeah, I don't agree with every tenet of what she argues in her books, but I think that premise that – self, every act is a selfish act. If you agree to that, then from that rationale, you are an objectivist.
What do you think of Ayn Rand taking money from Social Security later in her life?
Well, it certainly doesn't agree with her philosophy. But maybe she was getting less book royalties at that point.
I don't know if I find that that's a contradiction. I think that people can espouse something that the way it should be, but while it's not like that,
oh,
I can take advantage
that.
Of
that's
it.
My take on it too.
And it's like Obama taking super PAC money. He has to take it because
yeah,
you can't bring
you
a knife to a gunfight.
And it also
we all agree on this.
It brings me back to something that we had talked about earlier when it came to the veganism or vegetarianism, about people doing things that are out of accordance with their philosophy. So me, I'm saying I'm all sympathetic towards that, and you had rightly called me out on it, like then I must not care. But I don't really believe that's accurate. Think about PETA, for instance, the organization that's very pro-saving animals and whatnot. And according to their philosophy, they have no excuse not to gather arms and rescue the chickens.
Absolutely.
There's millions
totally.
Of chickens in the coops. They should storm that, just like if it was a concentration camp in
do
Germany.
Do we know that they kill animals, too?
Of course they do. I mean, I have all kinds of problems with PETA. I'm just
and
using them as an example.
And being vegan is not a prerequisite to being PETA, so...
No. Not at all. I was using them purely as an example of
right.
how, no matter how
that's
you
what I'm saying,
are going to couch
then.
Your... It, but then everything always is. I mean, and nobody can live every moment of their lives to the degree that they think is
but then we're all full of shit. We're all full of chicken shit if we're not going to stand up 100% for something we say is a belief.
Do you do that?
What?
Do you do this?
I try to in my life, yes.
We all try to, and there
I don't think I don't do it.
There it is.
I don't think I don't think I failed at it.
When have you failed? Have you ever failed at what you think is the right morality? Have you ever failed? Have you stolen a song off the internet? Is there anything
I have failed. I have failed.
Okay.
Yeah, I've failed.
Okay. That's everybody does.
Right.
Life is a process of perfecting that which we think is a perfect life.
Right.
So to call BJ out, for example, at this point in his life when he's just learned of bacon,
right.
For Christ's sake, man.
Give the man some bacon to eat for a couple years.
Think of the bacon.
That argument makes no sense because that excuses just your first meal. It doesn't excuse the habit forming.
Peter Singer, the esteemed philosopher and animal rights advocate, had pointed out that if I'm going to eat less meat, then I have caused less animal suffering. And that's a worthwhile goal. Eating no meat and causing that much less is an even more laudable goal. But
right.
still doing less harm is better than not changing at all. And
it just seems to me it's totally bullshit.
How old were you when you became an atheist?
Mid-30s.
Okay. He lived 30 fucking years without harming a single ham.
But how many cows? Man?
Lots of cows.
Fuck the cows. The Jews love cow.
No, dude, never.
We're going to go to war with the Indians on that one.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. We are about to launch a new premium service, and we want to hear what you think. Here's the plan. We'll be doing the show for 90 minutes. But just as it's always been, you'll be able to listen to the show live or download it from iTunes the first hour of that show. Just like it's always, nothing changes. The premium service will allow you to go purchase the full 90-minute show for a buck. So that's the plan, and we want to know what you think. So let us know what you think of this idea by sending an email to emery@ardentatheist.com. And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ben Glebe and B.J. Kramer. But that's a thing that we get a lot. Atheists get that a lot. Where do you get your morality from? And there's an implication in it that's kind of a drag. And
well, but what's the answer? You guys still aren't presenting to me an answer for it.
It unfortunately is a complicated answer.
I'm just curious.
Another arch atheist that we all love, Richard Dawkins, that wrote in his wonderful book, The Selfish Gene.
Arch atheist. Nice.
Yes, yes. He has a chapter in The Selfish Gene, which is not his work. It's just a really nice summary of the source of altruism. And it's just a summary of all of the science to date of when wherever it was written in their 70s or so. Even game theory and math was able to prove how, you know, give the understanding of how certain animal groups, even birds, exhibit altruism. And certainly we do. It is, as you pointed out, a survival mechanism, but it's more than that because it helps not just the individual, but the group, and a bigger, stronger group helps the individual, you know, in a feedback sort of way.
So therefore, if you can gamble on certain times where you can do the morally wrong thing and not the morally right thing and have the group and the individual benefit more, you should do it. So therefore, there's no morality.
I was with you up until the therefore no morality part. Yes, absolutely. If there is a way to game the system and be evil and whatever, but it turns out that the way we evolved actually, for the most part, weeds it out. And that's why there are still our bad people, but it's why overall we have improved our moral, what we call morality. We end up becoming much better with each other. We wouldn't have survived. We're huge now. We run this planet, and we did that because we were able to cooperate, not kill each other, learn a few basics of how to live in peace, and we're doing a decent job.
Hold your pinky out and everything.
And it changes really fast.
Yeah, yeah. I think morality fails pretty dramatically in the religious realm. I was a religious person. I was a very, very ardent religious person. When I was younger, I wanted to be an evangelist, and I was reading the Bible every day. And my ability to reason myself into what I now know to be awful immoralities was profoundly effective. And as an atheist, now that it's just 80 good years on this planet, be as good as I can to other human beings as often as I can, my moral fiber is beyond better than it used to be. And I find that to be true in the people that I knew then and the people I know to be who tend to be religious, and the people I know who are very, very, very atheistic.
Well, then you got to tell me what murders you were committing when you were religious, because how are you vastly better morally now? What are you not doing now that you were doing then?
When I was a Christian, I was able to believe that it was okay if God agreed with it. Without getting specific, which I don't really want to do right now, without getting specific, if I could find a way to believe that God supported whatever I was doing, then, and I'll give you a pretty innocuous example. It's, in my opinion, it is immoral, for example, it is immoral to, and I really believe this, I know it sounds innocuous, but I think it's immoral to put flyers on people's doors. I really think that's immoral. I do. It's an infringement on their personal world. And to chase people down for proselytizing purposes the way that we used to when I was a kid, and the way they still do today in those circles, I think is really awful.
Ro-Ro Chicken does the exact same thing at my door all the time. I come home and there are rolled up fucking menus. I feel violated by Ro-Ro Chicken, but I don't think it's anything to do with morality. They're just trying to get the word out.
At the next Reason rally, we're going to protest Ro-Ro Chicken.
You should, oh, nice, man. They give like way more menus than the average fast food place.
Right. I also was able to believe that it was morally proper to, for example, not hire people if they weren't religious like me. That kind of tribalism that goes on.
Well, that's
awful.
Stupid,
well,
and it's gross, but that's not worse than
murdering and
animals.
Well, for example, I hold a religious discussion chat on Google+, and one of the gentlemen in the chat, I asked him, he believed in the Bible and believed in God, and I said, you know, if God told you, and you knew this was true, that God came down and told you that you had to murder your child, and he said so, would you do it? And he's like, well, I'd have to say yes. And he said that. And everyone just gassed, but it's true. People think this way.
People do think that way, but my point is that it's still no more moral than an atheistic system, which allows you guys
They think
to,
it is.
No, but you guys are actually having murders occur under your name, under the name of your country that you live in, and don't say, I will not fucking eat another meal until we
I
stop
haven't
murdering
spoken
innocent
publicly
people
about
in Iraq.
This yet. I haven't spoken publicly about this. I'm about to speak publicly about something that's happening in my world. I stopped paying taxes when I realized we were killing people with my money.
Wow.
That was my way of doing it. Now the tax man's on my ass, and I got to pay an asshole $8,000 to fight back for me. But that's what happened, and that's where I am. I'm in danger.
A lot of us have no choice.
I'm in danger of losing virtually everything right now because the tax asses want to come down on me like a ton of shit.
It's also worth pointing out that the obvious answer to that is there may be things going on under our watch, but they're not being done in the name of atheism.
No, that's exactly right.
No, we're just talking about moral beliefs, and you're saying that you have a stronger, better moral system living in the atheist world, and all I'm saying is not really, because you're citing as evidence not hiring or firing people when there are people being murdered that we are okay with. We're still going to our fast
we're
food place.
We're not necessarily okay with it.
We're still watching reality TV. If the whole planet decides...
reality TV, really?
Yes, my point is...
How awful of everybody.
Yeah, but that's my point. If the entire planet, if the entire country, okay, tonight decided we are so wrong with anybody ever being murdered in our name for a reason we cannot justify,
yeah,
tomorrow we will not go to work. The entire fucking planet... It would be done. The war would be over in 4 days. It would be pulled out of Iraq and Afghanistan.
I agree.
All
with
of
you
us are so selfish,
it.
We do not do that. So if we are able to justify that amount of selfishness to our own needs, we do not have a moral system. So you can say, I'm not supposed to hire a guy because God told me to do it. Now I hire everybody. But yet you're not going to work tomorrow or starting a campaign or a rally.
But our
to
moral
make the
system is relative
to
where yeah. how we were raised and where we were brought
then
up.
It's not a moral system.
BJ,
then it's
I'm still confused. What civil disobedience am I supposed
system,
to be doing?
Then it's a self-preservation system.
What would you
have me be doing?
What's that?
Tomorrow morning, what would you have me do to
if
get us out of...
If the whole country wanted to...
I can control me. So what would you have me do as
you
an
can
atheist?
Control more than you. Why are you talking to a microphone right now if you can't control
you
more
can't
than
control
you?
You can't control other
people. Everybody people's. Vote into office people who don't want us to kill people overseas.
Right. That's okay. One thing. But is that all you could do? Or could you get your 50 people closest to you? If you really wanted to try to tackle the problems, couldn't we get everybody that we know that has
well,
microphones
they did
and
voices
that
with
to
the,
say, no work, start a petition.
Sit-in on Wall
campaign.
Street was one of the
yeah,
attempts.
I was part of the Occupy Wall Street movement. I supported that movement. I slept in a tent out there. I was trying to support that exact – they were trying to do exactly
but
that.
But admit it, you just like to camp.
On sidewalks
the great
for some reason
they had out there. But that was not the only reason. I was inspired to try to get behind the first chance that I saw for our nation to do exactly that.
You're in a room full of people who agree with you for
okay
starters.
But
and
my only point is right.
So we're spreading the gospel of you know all kinds of
but
good
that's
things.
The point I was trying to make earlier. That's why to me much more important is agreeing to not be a dick. It's not trying to say this moral system as an atheist is better than the moral system of the entire planet. The point is who gives a fuck? It does not matter. The true point is to get a moral system that we can all agree with aside from labels. And we can all agree don't be a dick. We can all agree with your platinum rule.
I think we're working on that.
Yeah, that's the whole point that I'm trying to make is that it doesn't. But it doesn't help the cause to say that your moral system is better than the other moral system or to laugh when somebody espouses a moral system
that's
not
No, the only thing
yours.
That we're saying is that we don't follow the morals of an invisible magic god that says it's okay. That's the difference.
Sure, but why does that matter? All that should
because
matter.
It matters is because that's the kind of thing that leads to the war that you're talking about.
Right. I agree with
that's
you.
That's why it matters massively.
Of course. But my only point is you could still believe in that magical God, and if you got the whole planet to agree, no matter what thing we believe in, we just also agree our own belief shouldn't be called the truth, shouldn't be put imposed on others.
You show me
the
believer
truth.
Who is like that, and I'll beg her to
There's
let me
plenty.
Put my penis in her vagina.
There's plenty of them.
There really aren't.
Of course there are. There's plenty of people who who believe in those things but don't believe it to a fact. Like the point that Mike made earlier, or maybe it was you, that 90, 95% of people have used birth control.
Right.
90% of Catholics have used birth control.
Yeah.
Once you can accept something like that, you don't believe in that system. If you can be convinced to break it in that instance, you can certainly be convinced to break it in an instance where you're not going to kill people in that name.
Right.
But they'd also
right.
have to stop putting money in the collection plate so that the
That's
church
what's
got to
happen.
Babies in Africa.
Everyone who's listening right now who is a believer and is giving money to a system that is doing awful, awful things that you don't agree with, stop it. Give your money to a fucking charity that doesn't take a Bible when they go to help people.
I agree with you completely.
I am motivated in a large part by the fact that I was a rather charitable young Orthodox Jew, and I did well for myself the first, you know, 10 years or so, and I was in the workforce, and I gave a shitload of money to my uncle, who's a lovely, lovely man, who runs an outreach school for kids. He take families that were not observant Jews,
right,
and give the, you know, with scholarships, take the kids into a Orthodox, you know, boot camp kind of thing where they would, you know, churn out really rapidly religious Jews.
Oh my God.
And this was seen as the greatest possible
Jewish camp
in the community.
Right. Just like Bible
camp. I'm horrified by it. I have participated in, you know, brainwashing children and, you know, making the problem worse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here's my penance. I'm out here talking to the people.
I know you to continue to be a charitable atheist now.
Try and be. I buy bacon for people.
I'm very aware. In fact, I'm convinced that, I only know a fragment of what you give, but that tenet carried over into his atheism as well, and I think that's really cool. So
sure, but I guess my question then is why? So, and that's why I've always loved the term atheist in the respect that it is simply saying I don't know, and because you don't know something, you can't believe.
Right. That the is word, atheism.
Right.
You're word, an atheist, Ben.
I know that.
Okay.
I agree with that. All I'm saying is that I don't see it as a more morally upright. Okay.
Where do you get your morals,
I do
Ben?
Think it is a more I do think it is a more honest and more accurate system to believe the world. All I'm saying is that it's not in and of itself the solution. It's not in and of itself the
so
ill of the world.
So you're saying it's not really a good final solution?
Well, if you phrase it that way.
Where do you get your morals, though?
I get my morals from something deep inside of myself and from what's been taught to me by my family.
A gay man's penis?
What's that?
Deep inside yourself. It's not funny.
Okay.
I thought it was funny.
Maybe I do. Maybe I should research or something. But my only point is I get it from someplace I don't know, but it just feels to me right. And to me, that's what the world needs to be convinced of, is just focus on what you know feels right. You hit somebody, you harm somebody, you insult somebody,
that's exactly
it feels
right.
bad.
That's exactly
and
right.
And that's what needs to be eradicated, not a belief in a religion or a belief in not a religion. To me, what needs to be eradicated is the lack of common sense in behavior. When you can prove that a behavior has worse ramifications than its opposite, we need to stop that behavior. And to me, that is the belief system that needs to take over the planet and spread through and infect the planet to save it.
BJ.
I'm concerned by anyone who says you got to listen to a voice inside you, because there are a lot of people who have little voices inside them that say all kinds of really awful shit.
Well, there are definitely people who feel good when they punch a guy in the face.
That's a great point. That's
got
a great
point.
There. I think the platinum rule, as you phrased it, is the one belief
system.
I won
you over with that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know how strong of a tenet the golden rule is for some people? They cannot agree with that.
You upgraded it like a time life practice. It's the platinum rule if you call now.
I love this. I can't believe I've convinced Ben. I've had people that are fucking really smart sit across from me going, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
But well, you're only saying that instead of doing unto others as you want them to have to do unto you, because we all have particular tastes, you just need to have a little bit of empathy and figure out what they want. It just kind of makes it more prohibitive of doing actions that infringe on somebody.
Exactly.
It's just a slight alteration. I think it's a good improvement.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm really pleased. And BJ, you're feeling a little frustrated by this conversation. I can see by your body
language. Yeah, I want to get to a resolution for crying out loud.
We're not going to.
I think I got out most of, you know, at times. I've interjected when I want to, and I'm going to, you know, hold myself back and not beat the living shit out
no,
of
no, stop.
Wait, no, explain them.
He's kidding.
I'm just totally, yeah.
He's the biggest pacifist I know.
Except when it comes to pig murder.
Yes.
Then you're all fucking about
What's your
it.
Position on pig murder, Ben?
I like bacon. I don't eat tons of it. I'm so Jewish.
You're so devil's advocate. Were you raised Jewish?
I was raised Jewish, but not very religiously Jewish. Yeah, I was still made to go until I was 16.
Right, right.
That's not Jewish.
That's not true.
Well, I was bar mitzvahed and confirmed. I mean, it's Jewish enough.
Right.
But I didn't believe in – I believe in the morals, and that's why I like Judaism. That's why for some reason – here's a weird thing.
So the morality of Judaism you think is a good thing.
Yeah, that's –
all right.
That's where – that is a big basis of my morality. Maybe you can help me figure this out. Here's something that I can't get past in my life is even though I am not a practicing person of any religion and I don't like organized religion, for some reason I still want my kids to be raised Jewish.
Really?
Is that weird?
How many kids do you have?
Zero.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. So convince me before it's too late.
Well, really, it's awful.
You've done a good job so far.
Because I feel like Reform Judaism is the one religion that I've seen. Well, that's not true. I actually
I once had a friend who was a Reform Jew. He was really Reformed. He was very Reformed. He was a Nazi. So Woody Allen was
great.
I'm really curious.
Really, really funny.
I
like Eastern religions more, really, so maybe if I were more like able to follow through with things, I'd realize.
You know, I had a guy sitting in that chair last week that said, I got to remember who said this. He's sitting in that chair. It was Joel Madison. You know comic Joel Madison?
I don't think I know him.
Wonderful guy writer. You know, you've seen him before. Joel Madison sitting
like
in that chair saying he's awesome. He's so good. He's sitting in that chair, and he said he thinks he wants to teach his children biblical morality so it takes the pressure off him.
Interesting.
And I'm like, what the fuck is the matter with you?
Why would mostly you even want to do it just for tradition purposes because my grandfather was so important for him for me to raise kids Jewish. I do think it gives you a good moral basis.
See, now we atheists feel like, and jump right in, BJ.
I really want to know, you had said you like the morality that the Jewish culture had given you.
Yeah.
How do you think, I mean, I realize I'm asking you to speculate, but how do you think that morality differs from the atheist morality that Emery or I would have?
I don't think it differs at all from your actual day-to-day practicing morality. I'm just saying, I was just curious where yours derives from if you don't believe there. I mean, I'm saying the same thing. I don't believe there was any necessarily like inherent truth to the stories of the Bible, so I think following it by the word of it makes no sense. But it does, it's this established system that teaches in an engaging, scary story, I guess, something that is important to learn, and kids may not be able.
They're awful stories, Ben. They're really awful stories.
I think
true.
I would say you got your morality
Abraham,
despite it.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Listen, are you going to have kids, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I
don't circumcise boys.
Yeah, where do you...
Why?
Where do you come down on circumcision?
Because I wanted to pick something else for us to argue about.
I'm all about circumcision. Mm-hmm. Why would we not circumcise?
You're circumcised?
I am.
Yeah.
Are you not?
No. Yeah, I'm circumcised.
You?
Horrifically
you
so.
Hell yeah.
Terrific.
Okay, so why are you against it?
First, I think we should all prove... Here's I wish I was a morning zoo show. We'd have zipper sounds and
even though
noises.
You don't believe in leaps of faith, let's go with that one, okay?
The reason that circumcision is wrong is because, let's see, the best way I can put it, give me a second. You're mutilating a child's cock, Ben. It's mutilization of an infant. You're cutting the fucking skin off a fucking baby's cock. That would be my argument. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
We want everyone to know about Camp Quest. Camp Quest is a secular summer camp for kids from 8 to 17, and they've got camps all over the U.S. They have your traditional camp activities like archery, hiking, and crafts, but they add games that promote critical thinking, humanism, and free thought. If you have kids, you should send them to Camp Quest this July. Camp Quest could also use your help because there are families who cannot afford to send their kids. So visit tinyurl.com/ardentcamp to learn more and to help out the underprivileged free thinkers of tomorrow.
And I want to clear up. It's tinyurl in case you don't know the jargon. tinyurl.com/ardentcamp. And that's how you go in there and you give some money and they know that we sent you. And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ben Glebe and B.J. Kramer, I suppose.
I mean, let me take it back. I don't think it's cool to do to an 8-year-old boy. I make fun of it in my act. That's a further example of the waterboarding. Baptism does Jews actually cut your dick at 8 days old.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't believe in Jewish teachings? We're going to cut your dick. We're going to cut your dick.
Suck on it.
Right. Do you know that there were Orthodox Jews that have a practice that is biblical in nature where they use their mouth
to
perform the fuck? They were giving kids herpes.
The baby
Ben,
just...
don't cut your kid's cock off.
Okay. Baby just died recently of herpes because of a guy doing that.
Not the
in
first
front
baby.
Of a whole bunch of people. And
snapping,
the one guy holding
pictures.
The baby is looking away like,
and I guarantee everyone in the room was still able to eat the deli platter and enjoy it.
Hell yeah.
I have two
Rare.
Sons, and they both were circumcised, and both had the same Moyle, who happens to be a family member, who
Moyle is
not...
a Jewish term for guy who cuts off penis. Tip of cock.
This guy does not actually place his lips on baby cock.
No. This is a very rare sect
of
asshole.
But it's close. He actually... they are commanded in... It's Talmudic, not quite biblical, to extract the blood with their mouths, but a lot of rabbis, being rabbis, figured out that they can use like a straw.
Wait, let's be clear. Let's be clear. When they use the straw, they're not even getting it in their mouth. They're just extracting it to a point in the straw so that it's there's so
unless they slip.
Except for the vampire moils.
And I never
one
knew
drop
this.
Of wonderful baby cock blood.
You have now shaken a bit of my belief in any sort of the Jewish teachings and in
I'm so here for you, bro.
But all I'm saying, if that is indeed true, but all I'm saying is I was pro-circumcision simply for sexual enjoyment reasons.
Really?
Really?
Every girl I've dated almost that's been genuinely honest with me about cock choice says that the from a sexual enjoyment perspective, from them, I'm applying the
platinum rule. Let me interrupt you. I'm not curious about that.
Platinum
I'm
rule.
Caring about my own sexual enjoyment.
You couldn't be more mistaken in my opinion. Now, I know it's an opinion. We're completely in opinionville right now.
Well, how would you be able to compare the difference?
I can tell you how.
How would he be able to compare the difference personally?
Here's how. The way you compare is you talk to the guy who had a circumcision and then went through the excruciating nightmare of stretching his skin back with weights to restore himself to, I'm not kidding, to the state he originally was in.
Or the other way around.
Or you could just ask somebody who is pre-circumcision.
Or the other way around.
Do it much easier.
Yeah.
This whole thing is making me feel uncomfortable.
But seven-day-old baby boys, you know, now they don't say much.
Right, that's exactly right.
Tangented so far.
No, it's all right. We're doing another hour. Listen, the average person who has had, and my daughter's boyfriend has, I hope I represent him well here. He'll call me if I don't. But I think he reports there was no difference. Not better, not worse, no difference.
Well, I'm sure there's like a survey Googleable if we really wanted to find out the percentages. But
I just love that we now have a word in our vernacular that's Googleable.
I don't know if you spell it. Is there an EA or does it go straight to the A? How does it work?
It's
probably EA, Googleable.
Yeah, EA.
So, EA Sports, it's in the game.
So if this, by the way, is how atheists tend to operate right now. You're about to witness atheist reason at work.
Yeah.
You're about to bring out a baby for dinner.
You look at science, and you say, what does the science say about sexual experience pre- and post-circumcision for men who maybe for health purposes had to actually be cut, like my daughter's boyfriend had to be? And you survey those folks and find out whether or not. And I dare say you would find that there was no sexual difference for them.
From what I understand scientifically, it is better. There's more nerve endings that are exposed after circumcision. Seems to be true as far as I know.
I heard the opposite.
No, the opposite is true. In terms of scientifically, now I'm going to give you what I've done my research on this aspect of it.
Okay.
I haven't done my research on post-enjoyment. But so I'm speculating there. But my research has said that literally millions of nerve endings are removed in the circumcision process. And therefore, the idea, now we're in opinion land, the idea is that by virtue of losing that many nerve endings, you're losing that much sensitivity.
If that is true, Emery, then I also am for circumcision, because if orgasms felt any better, I'd have to kill myself.
Must be a Jake Johansson
survive it.
Jake Johansson says, a friend of mine told me I should try this ecstasy. It makes sex better. And he goes, I think sex is pretty much where I need it. What do you got for cutting the lawn? I'm using beer right now. But
that's funny.
Yeah, that's a good bit. The argument, the scientific argument, is that. But then when you look at it, when you do the surveys suggest that people are reporting that it's not that big of a difference. Now that I've read in regard to that. So,
if I may, no matter what we come up with, unless there's really overwhelming evidence one way or another, I really think it's morally wrong for parents to do this to children on a maybe or a speculative nature that, hey, maybe there's one study that says a little better. Bullshit. You got to be really fucking sure if you're going to be chopping your baby's prick.
I grant you that.
Yeah. Well, there's only three reasons to chop off the tip of a baby's cock. One is because people think that he'll feel different in a tribal setting where there are other people, say, in the gym or whatever, or, you know, who knows, maybe he's going to be gay. And so and by the way, if you've cut it off, you what's it called? Sleeving. And you want to sleeve with a guy, you got to find at least one guy with a circumcision.
I don't know what that means, but you did just bring up a very interesting point. We look at it from an anthropological standpoint. How strange is it as a society that we have evolved to a place where if you're the guy whose family didn't cut your dick,
right,
you feel embarrassed.
You're the weird one.
Yeah. Your family didn't cut your dick, idiot.
Step back away from the word a little bit and look down at
anthropological it. Might have been the wrong use. I don't even know what anthropology means, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that all history? Is that sociology of history?
I have no idea. Okay, now we're but if you step back and look at it for a minute, it's really no different than, you know, the neck ringing that they do or the things that happen in African
all
culture.
Those tattoos where they just hit you with a stick and a nail and you're just like, there, you're done.
Yeah, they're pounding on kids to make them become a man. And
shaping
and
heads differently.
Yeah. So that's reason number one is okay. So that the kid doesn't feel different in society.
Right.
Number one. Number two is that it's more hygienic.
Right.
Myth.
And it's a myth. And
well, you get less lint caught in it for sure.
Well, we live in
you never bathe.
We live in we aren't Africans dragging our cock in the dust anymore, so it's not a problem anymore.
Holy
or up a tree.
In the dust.
Hey, caramba!
What?
What did I do? So that's reason number two, and then the other is religious. Those are the only three arguments, and they all fall apart when you genuinely look at them, and that's what atheists do. We genuinely think.
Leave boys' cocks alone. Just leave boys' cocks alone.
What do you prefer, honey?
I just don't care.
You don't care?
I'd prefer them not to be circumcised. If I have a son, I'm not going to circumcise them.
No. I'm talking about in your own life. Which would you
prefer? I've never had a circumcised person. I don't know.
You've never had a circumcised person?
Never had a circumcised guy.
No.
I think she means she's
inside my vagina.
Honey.
What?
You're misstating. You've never had an uncircumcised guy.
I mean uncircumcised. I'm sorry. You're right.
Man,
I was
thinking we had to shut this podcast down right now.
Because she's BJ, somehow selecting. BJ thought she just called me out on a lie. That's what BJ was
saying. Oh, no. I just thought there was an opportunity.
Well, maybe later.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's hilarious.
No, I've never had an uncircumcised boyfriend before, so I don't know what that feels like, but I just don't care if he is... I can't
imagine it would be as enjoyable to go down on somebody who was uncircumcised. But
why? You just pull the skin back
like
and go at it.
Unwrapping a present.
I'm openly bisexual, and I can gladly report, if you'd like,
sure,
that it's really cool.
What, it's like a magic show? It's like, where did it disappear?
Well, it pops out. It pops out, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It seems like it would just be able to get in the way, but you're the expert.
It's a little puppet.
I wouldn't call it.
He comes out. Hello, puppet. Come out and play with me.
Does it do voices, too? I promise that I will never cut another person's dick. How does this tie back into the morality of atheism?
It's wildly immoral, in my opinion, to chop off a kid's dick for any reason.
There's no morality of atheism anyway.
I hear you on that.
There's no morality of atheism.
So in that way, you're arguing that it's a basis of holding people to a much more common sense-based...
Logic-based.
Moral system, which will be a better
one. Not common sense, but logic-based. In other words, what does the science say about something and... What is reasonable? Honestly, there's a big difference, too, between science and reasonable.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And to be fair, we don't have to pretend that every single thing we do as part of our morality is something we thought out and planned or whatever. A lot of it has been proven to be beneficial evolutionarily. We know. We don't actually sit there and think, go through the argument of should we steal or kill or whatever. It's well ingrained. But society has then layered on top of that a whole
Well, laws cover that. The laws cover that, the big stuff.
Yeah. And then it comes down to we're arguing about circumcision and veganism and these things that in the past people wouldn't have put under morality at all. We're getting better. We are now making these really hard calls about stuff that in the past would have just been second nature to whatever cultural requirement there was. And nobody would have said this is a moral issue.
If I was living back then, I'd have a plate in my lip, too. Maybe two.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to all of our listeners who were on the Wall of Reason last week. James A. Quick, Jesse Settegren, Chris Elzinga, Emery's mom. Hi, Mom. Dan Crane, Herbert Reagan, Kyle Delaney, Beth Arthur, Jacob Jacks, Eric Knight, Russell Christian, Don DiNatale, Brad McIntyre, Bill Stobie, Justin Longerich, Adrian Hake, John Tanner, and Joseph Swam. These were all the people chatting last week. We wouldn't have a great show without you, no matter how much your name is mispronounced by me. Thank you.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense. You can believe him. We're talking with Ben Glebe and BJ Kramer.
I mean, if we're going to table for the moment the issue of where the moral system comes from and say that's ingrained in our DNA and who we are as people now, I will certainly grant you that I think it is a positive thing for the planet to move away from us being able to sign on to dogmatic systems that enable people to believe in rules that damage people and just say, it's the rule of the thing I'm supposed
you
to
know,
believe.
You know, in an hour, 40 minutes, Hallelujah. You've come a long fucking way, Ben Gleed. That's all I'm going to say. I, you know, where it comes from, I think the direct answer is, honestly, it's inherited and then adjusted. That's the honest answer, I think. That's the most direct, simple, clean answer. And I wish I'd thought to give it to you an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, but that's
really
still missing the first question. I never questioned that it came from somewhere. It,
evolutionary, that's, you know, I mean, we came from other animals, and those animals, we just adapted, evolved, and...
But you guys do think there is some place that it came from, some place that the wrong and right came from?
Yes, wrong and right came from, very simply, to. I see what you're saying now. Let me get right to it.
That's the whole point of
God!
I think wrong and right, I think the morality comes from... the experience of beings. That's it. And it's the mind. It's just the mind. And it's communicated in multiple ways. One particular very effective way is through writing and communication. So that's where it comes from. And there was no morality on the Serengeti when cavemen were bashing each other in the head for survival. In that sense, there probably was some that we could only speculate, which would be fun and silly. But I mean, in their tribal settings, there was probably some. But you know, they probably killed and ate people pretty readily.
Sure.
And over time, they learned, as you were saying earlier, that it didn't behoove them to kill and eat each other, or it didn't. Eventually, and only recently, did we learn that raping women was not necessarily a good thing.
There were probably pockets of society that didn't learn it, and they died out.
But then, by that rationale, and I'm not disagreeing with it. Right. But by that rationale, there is no morality. There's just accommodations.
Wow.
It's just accommodations.
That's how
you're defining the word. And we get pissed when you go to a hotel and they don't have the accommodations they promised you, but there's no right and wrong. It's just the shit we want.
Yeah, like I want a Quran in the drawer next to my bed too, not just the Bible.
Right.
And I won't stop until there is a Quran in there.
And every other religious book too. I want a library of religious books in my hotel room.
I want every listener to know that when I'm in a hotel room, I open to the center of the Bible and I drag my cock and balls through it, just for the record.
Just for the next guy.
Please know that.
Let people know that if you're ever in a pinch and you're in a hotel room on the road about to do a weekend of comedy shows and you really want to roll a joint and you have no rolling papers, the blank page in the back of the Bible is very brutal.
Well, there's a girl didn't we have the girl on the show who smoked
let me just say one thing. If you do
a Bible page?
If you do smoke that page in the back of the Bible, maybe that's why God wants it there. The ridiculous story is a lot more fascinating. You're like, and then what? A fucking bush is talking and a fucking snake is talking, bro.
She bears?
Hit this shit and then read this chapter. This is fucking unbelievable. Written by a stoner, I promise.
Have you read any of the Bible at all?
I've read chunks here and there. I've kind of avoided going cover to cover. I feel like it's a little bit.
You should. It's really great reading.
I bet. I just would be so annoyed that this book has caused so much pain.
You know what I'd like? I'd like to actually download an Audible copy of the book read by Richard Dawkins.
He'd be snickering in the background.
I would listen to Richard Dawkins phone book.
Yeah.
Put your pants back on.
Yeah, maybe the Bible would be a lot less popular if somebody with a very annoying voice read it out loud. If it was like Adam Carolla, he's like, and then the serpent.
You go to Adam Carolla over Gilbert Gottfried?
Well, he's just like the modern Gilbert Gottfried voice and look
kind of is, isn't he?
He looks a lot like him and sounds a lot like him.
Pauly Shore. I want to the Bible by Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Fucking awesome. Or Walken would be nice, actually.
Christopher Walken. Oh.
And then some other crazy shit.
I don't think it would be. That would be that's the director's cut. Well, you want me to read this? What are you, crazy? This fucking cunt is nuts.
Fuck this out. That's much better than mine. It's good.
Do what?
That's much better than mine. I used to do a good Walken,
so
and mine is out the window these
days. No, you got to get
like
on.
Mine is all right.
You know the trick? Give him a little East Coast.
Interesting.
Little East Coast change.
Sure, a little East Coast.
There, there you go.
Right, that helped
See
a lot.
See what I'm saying?
That made it a lot more alive.
I wish we had a Bible. You and I could do it now.
This Bible was up my ass for 3 months.
Will you both sign autographs?
Absolutely.
As
Christopher
Walken.
Sure.
everybody who believes, who accepts on faith, that a particular God who sends all who do not drop to their knees to worship him exclusively created everything in the universe and then became enraged when two of the people he created ate fruit from a particular tree he created and placed in the garden with these two people but demanded they never eat from, and also created a mischievous talking snake who was able to convince the woman to defy God and eat of that forbidden fruit anyway, which caused this all-loving and forgiving God to cast them from the garden and place a curse on all women in the form of excruciating childbirth
and
pain,
cramps.
And who also decided to hold every human being, whoever came after the cursed couple, responsible for the actions of the couple he had created, tempted and shamed and exiled in the form of original sin, and then thousands of years later impregnated a married virgin with his own child, whom he had chosen to send to atone for the very sins he had cursed all mankind with as punishment for the actions of that first couple he had created and tempted and arranged for the Romans to torture to death his very own son as a way of convincing himself to forgive all of humankind for this global sin he had cursed them all with at birth. Happy fucking Easter.
I just want to correct you on one thing. Mary wasn't, they weren't married before.
Oh, they weren't?
No.
Hold on, let me do it again.
That sounded like...
They weren't even married.
They weren't married?
They weren't even married.
That is a creative tale for sure. But do you believe that without some sort of reset on the planet, do you believe it's ever possible that all of the twisting and mangling
sadly,
of our planet that has occurred by religion can ever be undone?
Sadly, Ben Glebe. No.
Well, according to the Bible, we've already did it over again. Like, you know, the flood, it was reset.
So then do you think that another reset should come and you're just like the McDonald's guy?
No.
Or do you think that if it's futile, then what does it matter?
I think we're doing a lot better. We're building towards that time. Maybe in the future, yeah, there will never have to be a person to ever have to work again because then there'll be more pleasure. We're working towards...
I mean, let me give you a little bit more
hope. We're working towards paradise.
Yeah, but you just said no. You just said the answer no. And I would like to think there's no purpose to even having the conversation if the answer is no, unless you want to just for the fun of the conversation.
I think there will always be small pockets of people like the Amish sitting on a little island doing their own stupid shit. I think that's always going to happen.
I really do. There can be some island of Dr. Moreau sitting there in a horse and buggy.
That's what I think we're going
pouring
to.
Pouring candle wax on each other.
That's what I think we're going to eventually coalesce into. We're going to be a large group of people who all get along really nicely with a small group of idiots sitting around.
Holding up fucking signs saying God wants you to,
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
kill gays or
we're going to get over all the shit and it's all going to be perfect because I think Star Trek is a documentary.
Yes.
I hope you're right. I think it's going to take thousands of years, though. That's a problem. I'm not going to get to see it in my circumcised life.
Can I just for a second posit a beautiful, idyllic image of the future, though?
Let's hear it. I like this.
The four of us, that have these strong beliefs that maybe one day the planet can evolve to this enlightened place where we are not bogged down by having to bow down to all these various different religions and gods and dogmas that tell us this is the one truth and the only truth, right? We evolved to a place, maybe there's a couple pockets, but they're on an island somewhere and they don't disturb the general populace. And then somehow we can figure out how to freeze the four of us so that we can actually be unfrozen in this enlightened time.
This is that movie with the three seashells, isn't it?
I don't know what that is, but sounds sure. If you need a symbol, let's do it.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Oh, Demolition Man. Right. Sex happens with three seashells.
No,
it's how you wipe your ass.
Oh, right.
Diseases are eradicated. There's no more. The cops don't have guns. They have, they talk nicely to the people and tell them, stop.
Right. Let the record show that sex for Ben is wiping your ass with three seashells. And that's why he'll never have a kid to circumcise.
What I'm saying is in this ideal world, if this is able to happen, and before we get frozen, we write down this prediction that we'll get to this place, We get unfrozen thousands of years in the future.
Right.
And it is this halcyonic, beautiful place. We could then totally tell everybody we predicted it and be their gods. Think about it, guys.
And only if we're frozen with the Bible.
Here's the great part. And because we're gods, we'll fuck it all up, and then this whole cycle repeats again and again.
And
maybe it's
right.
already
and
happened.
Shit Ooh.
Who doesn't love a good rerun, BJ?
Name one good rerun.
Any episode of a show you like playing again.
I guess that's
true. Well, I can't thank you enough for giving us another hour. I want to wrap
it up
with you here soon. And BJ, go ahead.
I want you to plug
what you wanted to plug.
I would love to plug my podcast if I could.
Let's do it.
I love the art of podcasting, and I'm dedicating my life these days to it, like 20, 30 hours a week.
So you never leave the house.
I don't leave the house very much at all. My podcast is on Kevin Smith's podcast network. It's called Last Week on Earth with Ben Glebe. And every week I summarize and cover, and hopefully in a comedic way, everything that happened last week on Earth.
So
news,
cool.
Politics, social trends, pop culture, science, weird stories.
And
technology.
Your podcast is 5 hours long?
It is 1 to 2 hours long. about an hour when I do it by myself every other week, and then I have a celebrity guest every other week. I've had some awesome ones lately, like Bryan Cranston just did it from Breaking Bad, and Sophia Bush, and Blake Griffin, and Dane Cook, and Greg Proops, and Aisha Tyler, and all these
Sweet.
Cool people.
Oh, Proops.
Please
I've called
subscribe
Proops.
To
He's
it.
Not calling me back. And where are you working, by the way? Are you writing now, or are you still
with
Chelsea?
I'm still on. I don't write for Chelsea's show. I'm just on her roundtable every 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, I thought you were a writer.
No, I've never been a writer on her show.
Well, I am. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just on the show. You know, she's been amazing to me and had me on. You know, every
it's a great
couple
show.
Weeks for 4 years now. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Thank you for enjoying the show. I think it's pretty funny. When I'm not on, sometimes more so. And just doing stand-up all over the country. I'll be in Morty's. I'll be in Las Vegas at the Paris Hotel and Casino May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, rather.
Are we in Vegas then?
I don't think we are.
May? No.
That's the end of May.
Yeah, March is when we're over.
You can please follow me on Twitter, at Ben Glebe, B-E-N-G-L-E-I-B. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/BGlebe. BenGlebe.com. It has all the links to all of it. All of that shit's right there.
That's exactly
my podcast is Last Week on Earth. Subscribe to it on iTunes.
Go there. And the tiny URL.
And if I can
tinyurl.com/don't-be-a-dick-pledge.
There you go.
Okay. Sure.
And if I can plug something that's totally not related to me at all, but I think everybody should go to BrickTestament.com. Are you guys familiar with this?
Brick Testament, go.
BrickTestament.com is the best way to learn the Bible. It's like Cliff's Notes, but it's all pictures from the Bible made out of Lego.
Oh, yeah.
I have brushed up on my Bible knowledge, especially the New Testament stuff, which I didn't really know about. And I think everybody should go there and just see how unbelievably horrifying the Bible
is.
It's
really great.
Because when it's done in Legos, you really can tell.
Right.
Yeah. BJ, why don't you have a Twitter? What the hell?
No shit, man.
I have no idea why I don't use Twitter. I don't.
You need to start using Twitter.
Who the fuck are you?
Right? You're so fucking. You have so many great ideas, and you really should be tweeting out to people. People want to hear from BJ Kramer.
Twitter is a tool that is convincing Arab governments to topple their dictators. It's actually undoing belief systems that are fucked up.
I could have done that. Holy shit.
He
said dictator. Dude, get a Twitter account.
I'll get Twitter.
Ardent Atheists with an S, because some jagoff in New York had it without the S already. And Emery II at Twitter as well.
And Heather Henderson without the N, because some jagoff made it impossible to write my whole entire name on Twitter for some reason.
Yeah. So, again, thank you so much, Ben Glebe and BJ Kramer, for episode 62 is what this ended up being. I also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson and Dissident Radio. Tune in next week where our guests will be...
We have no fucking clue.
That's right. And we'll be talking about...
I have no idea.
That's it for episode 62. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Thanks for listening.
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Twitter and Facebook publicist, Cameron, not just a season Winters, and to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph, more than just a past tense verb, Swam.
Thank
you,
everybody.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.